Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. We'll read verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths around by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I often like to ask, after I read a scripture, have you ever heard this story before? You have? I hope it's the reason y'all are here today. This risen Jesus. This risen Jesus. So I talked with the kids about the surprise of this. And I think oftentimes we forget that. As a preacher, it's this weird thing because everybody knows the story. There's people, folks here that we don't see very often. And so there's like, oh, I got to come up with something catchy, something exciting. Maybe if I tell the story in a new way, maybe they'll come back or something like that, you know? I've been watching Hadestown. Anybody familiar with Hadestown? What does Hermes say about telling the story? There might be a different ending this time, but you tell it anyways. The story does not change. We tell it over and over again. It is the very essence of why we gather today. It is the very reason that we gather at all. It's the reason that we call ourselves Christian, because this Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. I like to point that out at Christmas time. We love Christmas. We love babies. I got two baby nieces now. It was fun to hold them. My kickball team, one of the players had a baby. Not during a game, but they brought the baby. And so we got babies everywhere. We love babies. And so at Christmas time, where we remember this Jesus as a baby, it's wonderful. But we forget that without Easter, nobody would care about baby Jesus. It is nothing, the story of Jesus, without his death and without his resurrection. This is the reason we are here. But Luke is very interesting in the way that he tells the story of Jesus' resurrection, because it is a surprise. It is hard for these folks that have experienced the risen Jesus to wrap their minds and their brains and their heads around what it is that they're seeing and what it is that they are experiencing. We've had 2,000 years to try to piece things together and to understand what does it mean that Jesus is alive. Imagine that first Sunday, being one of those women carrying these spices, preparing to prepare Jesus' body to rest forever in the ground and to show up. Some of the other gospels say that on the way to the tomb, they were talking with one another about how they would get the stone out from in front of it. This big old rock, how are we going to move this rock to do what we need to do to prepare Jesus' body? Luke just says that when they got there, that stone was already rolled away. And they look into the tomb, and there's nothing. There's no body. There is no Jesus. For some reason, he is gone. So as Luke tells these stories of experiencing the risen Jesus, there are three things that are important for people to understand and to believe. The first is this experience. You have to experience Jesus' resurrection. The second part is memory. It's In one way or another, everyone who understands and believes in Jesus' resurrection, they have a memory of before his death. And then there's the last thing is what is called this exegesis. Not like Jesus' ex, but like exegesis. It's closer to explanation, but with a theological purpose. Theological explanation of the things that they are experiencing and remembering. These are the three things that folks in this gospel have to understand. So these women, they have that first. They have the experience of Jesus resurrected. They get to the tomb, the rock has been rolled away, and there is no body. That's an experience of a resurrected Jesus. He's not there. And then these two men in dazzling clothes, we're to understand that they're angels. They just pop out of nowhere. Anytime men pop out of nowhere where you're not expecting them, you should be terrified. I don't know, that's just a good thing to keep in mind. They just pop out of nowhere like daisies. Watched Mulan the other day. They pop out of nowhere in these dazzling clothes, and the women are terrified. They fall to the ground. But these angels say, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen." And here is that second part. The angel says, "Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that these things must happen." We have to experience the risen Jesus, and then we have to remember his words. It is not enough simply to live in this weekend. It's not enough to live in this point between Jesus' death and his resurrection. It's not enough to live on Easter Sunday or even next week after his resurrection. We must remember what came before. As much as I like to say that at Christmas time, without Easter, none of it matters, I think also without Jesus' life and teachings and those parables, the things, the ways that he lived and the things that he taught, Jesus' resurrection wouldn't mean as much without those things. How's that feel? Put that on for a second. If Jesus did not say or do or teach or heal the way that he did during his life, I don't think his resurrection would mean as much. We have to remember Jesus' words. We have to remember those parables. Remember those beatitudes and those blessings about the first being last and the last being first, the poor being made rich and the rich made poor. Those who worked all day being paid the same as those who came an hour before the final bell rung. These are Jesus' words. We must remember them if we're to understand his resurrection. Finally, the last thing is that someone has to explain these things to us. This is why we gather as a community of faith. In that membership class with the students, with the kids before their baptism this morning, that was one of the things that we talked about. Why do we come to church? What's the point of being here with one another? It's because we gather all of our knowledge, all of our faith. We bring it together in one place and we share it with one another. None of us understands truly what it means to follow Jesus all on our own. We've all been taught and nurtured with a community of faith. Those things are explained to us. Now, these women, they get most of those three things. They get the experience of Jesus' resurrection. He's no longer there. They have these angels that come and tell them to remember all that he taught. So they're not quite there yet. They haven't had these things explained to them, but still, two out of three isn't too bad. So they run back and they find the 11. I thought there were 12 disciples. Why is he saying 11? We got rid of Judas already. Get him out of here. You're going to betray my guy. Get out of here. So Judas is already gone. So these women go back to the 11, to the other apostles, those that would spread this good news, and they tell this story. It sounds to those men like an idle tale. And they don't believe them. Surprise, surprise. A bunch of men don't believe a bunch of women. Started from the beginning. The world would be a lot better if we just close our mouths and listen to those women. I'm going to get in trouble. It's all right. It sounded like an idle tale. We've talked a little bit in the past. We won't do too much with our the idea that this book, these Gospels, this Bible was not written in English, right? So the original Greek, that idle tale, that's the same word and phrase that Mary Magdalene is first described when she's introduced in the Gospel. Mary Magdalene, this woman who is possessed by demons, who is going crazy, who is out just being wild, has this idle tale that it seems when you meet Mary. So we've got this full circle moment. She starts literally telling idle, crazy tales, possessed by demons. Now, on this Easter morning, Mary Magdalene and the other women come back with this news, this surprise that is so outrageous and unbelievable, it sounds like an idle tale. But this time, it's from the Lord. So Peter gets up, runs to the tomb. I like Luke's gospel better than John because Peter doesn't get beat in a race like he does in John. That always hurts me. How dare you? But Peter goes to the tomb. He stoops down. He also himself has this experience of a risen Jesus. Jesus isn't there. The cloths that his body was wrapped in are sitting there by themselves. There is no body. There is no Jesus. He is gone. He's got the experience. The angels are apparently gone. They are not there to remind Peter to remember. No one is there to do that explanation for Peter. So Peter only gets one of the three. So he goes home, amazed, perplexed, but he goes home alone and doesn't even bother to tell anybody else. He's only got one, not two, not three. Peter is incapable of understanding because he has not experienced all three. Now, we did not read the rest of this chapter, but you'll remember also, I think, the walk to Emmaus. Have you heard of that story? Two disciples, two apostles are leaving from Jerusalem that weekend, that Easter day, and all of a sudden there's another stranger with them. And they have all of these conversations as strangers. So like, what's happening? Why is everyone all up in arms? And so there's the energy in the whole city. Why? What's going on? And they say, you must be a stranger if you don't understand what's been happening. This Jesus that we have been following was crucified, and now some folks are coming and saying that he's alive. We don't know what to think, but we also got to get home. And it turns out that the stranger is none other than Jesus. These two people walking to Emmaus, they have that first one. They have that experience of a risen Jesus. He's walking beside them, talking with them. As the story goes on, it's this Jesus, this stranger. They haven't recognized him yet. This stranger explains everything. Beginning with Moses, all the way up until Jesus' time, he explains and asks them to remember. These two people are the first in the Gospel of Luke to see and understand the risen Jesus. The women got two of the three, but they didn't see Jesus. Peter only saw an empty tomb. He did not understand. These two walking to Emmaus had this experience of a risen Jesus. The explanation of all through scriptures of what Jesus was to do and to become. And then in the breaking of the bread, they remember what Jesus has taught as well. All three of those they experience. Finally, Jesus does come to the disciples by the end of this chapter, by the end of the gospel, and the disciples receive all three. Jesus is there with them. They experience him. He reminds them of all that he has taught, and he explains, beginning again with the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, everything that will be fulfilled. He explains everything to them. Finally, the disciples have all three. So that's our story. 2,000 years ago. I always like to try to connect it to our lives today. So this is the point where I ask questions. You don't have to answer them out loud. These can be rhetorical for your own heart and for your own soul. Have you experienced the risen Jesus? These three things that you need. Have you experienced a risen Jesus? Have you experienced the love and grace and mercy that is extended through Jesus from God? Have you experienced those things? Have you remembered Jesus' teachings? Do you spend time in Scripture and in prayer, in community, book studies, at church? Do you remember Jesus' words? Are you with those who have come before us, the saints of our lives and of our churches and of our faith, to help understand and explain these things to you? I hope so. If you look at my sermon title, "This Is What You Came For," I wrote it as a question today. I think the angels, these two men in dazzling clothes, begin that question. This is what you came for? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? What is it that we're expecting to find? Are we expecting to find a resurrected Jesus? Are we expecting to find our lives changed, our world changed on this Easter morning? And if so, why are we looking among the dead? Is this what you came for? The first time I heard, read about this saying was in a book about a guy named Scott Jurek. Scott Jurek is an ultra marathoner. He runs 100-mile races. Those races that started out as like horse races, and then somebody's horse couldn't race, and so they ran it on foot, and now everybody runs it on foot. 100-mile races in the middle of the desert. And the story is told that Scott Jurek was on the side of the road, just like passed out, understandably. 100-mile race in the middle of the desert. Makes sense. Doesn't make sense, but it makes sense that he's passed out. And his trainer just looks at him and says, "Scott, this is what you came for. You're one of the best at running these races because of moments like this right here. When everyone else is practically dead, has to get in that van and find some air conditioning, you get up and you keep going." And Scott Jurek is like the best that's ever done it, so he does. That works. He gets up. He moves on. This is what we came for. These are the moments in our lives that Jesus was resurrected for. This is what we came for. And you can ask that question of yourself individually, as a community of faith, as a country. Is this what we came for? Is this the reason we're here? Are we looking for a resurrected Jesus among the dead? Are we looking for grace and love and mercy in the midst of darkness and hate? Or do we bring it ourselves into those places to share it? The women go out and share the story. Peter takes him a little while longer, but he shares it and takes it. This resurrected Jesus, this most incredible story that has ever been told, is to share that light in the darkness. It's Easter morning. Jesus has been risen from the dead, and we are sent out to share that gospel with the world. Amen.